The game that we're about to talk about, Myrtle Beach 35, North Myrtle Beach 28. Lane, a W for the Seahawks, a perfect region 5-0 performance in Region 7 at 3A. How did you feel your Seahawks played tonight?
Well, yeah, we got off to a slow start. In the first quarter, we were mired down inside our 15-yard line on all three of our possessions and really couldn't get anything going offensively. And meanwhile, North Myrtle Beach, you know, kind of rode the momentum with the tough run game that they have. Carrick Class scored the first of his three touchdowns on a 15-yard touchdown run to go up early. And after that, it was a Drayton Arnold show. And Drayton Arnold hooked up with Keontae Sessions on a 16-yard touchdown pass, Elijah Rice on a 21-yard touchdown pass, and Cortez Brown on a 32-yard touchdown pass to put us up 21-7 at the half. And, you know, Brown caught another touchdown pass in the fourth quarter. Sinclair added a one-yard touchdown run to give us a 35-14 lead early in the fourth quarter, and we gave up a couple of late touchdowns to make it close. But they played well. They we're still not tackling like we need to. And anytime you run up against an option offense, if you don't play assignment football, you're gonna miss some tackles and gonna be in the wrong spot at the wrong time. And North Myrtle Beach, you know, you need to give these guys credit. This is a young team. Carrick Class, we had him unofficially with 17 carries for 239 yards and three touchdowns. He's just a sophomore. Their leading receiver was another sophomore, Tyler Gore, with 11 catches for 165 yards. And their junior quarterback, Ronnie Bass, will be coming back next year. This will be a team to be reckoned with in Region 7-3A next year.
They're still making Gores up there at North Myrtle?
Oh, man, there's three of them. Three of them on defense and one of them on offense, two of them on offense. So you know, you got to make sure you get the right Gore at the right time.
Oh, absolutely. That can be a nightmare for the play-by-play guy and for the opposing coach. I do imagine. Alan Smothers was commenting earlier on the variety of roles that Elijah Rice was used in tonight by head coach Mickey Wilson. But unfortunately, Alan's cell phone had some issues, so we didn't really get him to finish commenting on that. What did you see from Elijah tonight?
Elijah is on a wet turf, he's lethal. I mean, he caught an early pass in this game and took it in the sidelines for about a 40-yard gain and just making people miss all over the field. He ended up with six catches and for 98 yards and a touchdown, and actually came in and rushed the ball. Had about a 30-yard rush late in the fourth quarter when we were running the clock out. He and Brandon Sinclair were on both sides of Drayton Arnold in a gun eye formation, and that's kind of a, you know, who you're going to tackle, who you're going to guard, who you're going to game plan for. And he's a guy that's really he's put together four really really strong football games with two punt returns for touchdowns. I think he's caught, you know, six touchdown passes out of the seventh tonight. And he's a guy that's really rising up to the top as Drayton Arnold's go-to guy.
You mentioned a gun eye formation there. Had you seen that at any point earlier in this season?
No. I can't think of any time that we've had over the 6 years I've been calling these games where a quarterback in the Myrtle Beach offense has had two running backs, one on each side of him. It's always been, you know, Drayton Arnold on one side of Brandon. Brandon Sinclair on one side of Drayton Arnold, and to go with two backs in there. And then we were trying to run out the clock. We were going to run the ball. They knew we were going to run the ball, but he was still picking up good yards. He's just very elusive and a very quick, small back that I'm looking for him to have a huge playoff run. And this is a kid, you know, he's not very big. I mean, he's only 5'8", 165 pounds, but he's the kind of back that could go to a, you know, D3 or D2 school and really do some damage.
He is Lane Harris, play-by-play voice of the Myrtle Beach Seahawks. Lane, there was some thought tonight, maybe with the region wrapped up, that Myrtle Beach wouldn't have the gas pedal down. Maybe some guys would get rested. Clearly not the case, and they win by a score, so it's not like there was much breathing room. Were you at all surprised to see, as I mentioned, the gas pedal pressed all the way down?
Well, no, that was one of my keys to the game was were we going to come out and play like, because last year, this was the same scenario last year. We played North Myrtle Beach at home. We had the playoffs wrapped up. North Myrtle Beach was fighting for a playoff life, and they came into Doug Shaw and beat us 14-11 last year. So Mickey Wilson, I'm sure that fact was not missed by him, and he made it known to these guys. And after a very sluggish first quarter, we came out and we did put the pedal to the metal. But yeah, again, credit North Myrtle Beach, you know, Class. He's a class act. Carrick Class just kept running the ball, and we had a hard time bringing him down. And I think I'd be safe to say that 239 yards and three touchdowns is by far his best effort of the year. They're kind of in the limbo. They're going to be kind of hanging in the wind, waiting for a playoff bid. I think St. James, with their win, they're going to get in. Georgetown's going to be probably the number two seed in Region 7-3A. And North Myrtle Beach, you know, if the points work out for them, they could hopefully get in, and they could give somebody some trouble in the playoffs.
Yeah, Ian Guerin joined us earlier, Lane, and he was pretty certain that North Myrtle Beach was going to get in as the fourth team in the region. So,
Well,
he said that likely the Region 7 team is going to be better off than the Region 6 team in fourth place because of North Myrtle Beach's five regular season wins. But taking a look at this Myrtle Beach team heading into the playoffs, five straight wins, all in the region, a lot of momentum. How does this Myrtle Beach team feel to you in terms of playoff potential?
Well, Wayne and I were kind of talking about, Wayne Gray, my color commentator on the air, about that tonight. To him, this team reminds him a whole lot of that 13 team, which is a team that was 1-4 in non-region region play, finished up the regular season 6-4, and then ran through the playoffs and the state championship to win a state championship over Daniel in Williams-Brock Stadium. I don't think we're as good as that team was, especially on the offensive line, and I'm not taking anything away from our offensive linemen, but we had some experienced guys on the offensive line that really knew how to play football and really knew how to block, and we had some defensive backs that could really put people, keep people locked up and put people on the ground when they attacked us with the running attack. We're still small. We're small in the secondary. I mean, our cornerbacks, one weighs 140, one weighs 150. You know, those guys, you know, not going to be vicious, mean tacklers. And, you know, our guys that do most of our tackling are Quan Ludley on the inside, who had a great game tonight, and Chase Brill, who had another good game, in our linebacker position. Those are the guys that do most of the tackling. But we got a freshman back at the safety position, Jermoney Green, that is just, he's a third leading tackle on this team. And he had another great game tonight. And this is a kid that's going to be around for a long time. You'll be hearing a lot about. And we may have to move him over to the offensive side of the ball because he's just an exceptional athlete. But comparing them to 13, I don't think they're quite as good as that. Now, can we get to a state championship? Very possibly. We're going to have the benefit, more than likely, of three straight home playoff games. But to play that lower state championship, we're probably going to have to travel to Hartsville. And those are the big guys we're going to have to get by. Also, Marlboro County with a huge win tonight. That's another team that could probably come into Dubshaw Stadium 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now, and be in a lower state quarterfinal matchup that would be a tough out for Myrtle Beach as well. But I like where we're going. I like the fact that we started the year off slow. We're getting better every week. And now our sophomores are playing like juniors, our juniors are playing like seniors. And that's the way Mickey Wilson usually plans things out when we go towards playoff action.
He is Lane Harris, voice of the Seahawks. They win tonight 35-28, preserving an undefeated region slate, 7-3 regular season, 5-0 in the region. Lane, we do want you to rest your pipes tonight because the Chanticleers need all the help they can get tomorrow, all right?
Ooh, big game tomorrow night in Chucktown. It's going to be under the lights. It's going to be Halloween night, and hopefully we'll get more treats than tricks.
Absolutely. 7 p.m. kickoff. Of course, our coverage begins with a tailgate show live from the Warehouse Bar. 4 p.m. tomorrow on 100.3 The Team. So listen to Lane, listen to me, listen to the whole Chanticleer production. 7 p.m. kickoff, Coastal Carolina at Charleston Southern. Lane, have a good one, my man.
Appreciate it.
All righty. We join now with Wayne White, analyst for North Myrtle Beach on the radio. So we got the tale from Myrtle Beach. Let's hear from the Chiefs' perspective. Wayne, we know that we know the score. How'd you feel the Chiefs played?
I really thought this was probably one of our better outings of the season. Just overall, we played extremely well. I thought we played extremely hard from kickoff to the, you know, to the when the horn went to zero. I mean, we had 529 yards of total offense tonight. I mean, that's the kind of numbers offensively that that Coach Harden's been talking about. We had 342 on the ground. You know, it's a triple option offense that a lot of the guys are still learning. I mean, we've still got a lot of young guys. We've got a real young line, but you know, just looking at the stats, and they really kind of told the story of exactly what Coach Harden was saying after the game. You know, he was extremely proud of the way the guys played. Unfortunately, three fumbles really cost us tonight. They turned into 21 points for Myrtle Beach.
Three fumbles. Okay. So Myrtle Beach capitalizes on every turnover with a score, and that seems to be the difference in a one-score game right there. Wayne, we heard this, I don't want to say speculation. It seemed like Ian was pretty certain that North Myrtle Beach is getting a playoff spot at fourth in the region. Is that what you were hearing as well?
Yeah, and I've heard the one step further than that, the speculation that will be sent, that will be in Hartsville in the first round. So,
okay.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, there's still a lot up in the air, but I talked to Ian quite a bit. Talked to him a couple of times during the week, and then, you know, tried to do a little bit of nosing around myself. But 99% of the time, Ian's a prep beat writer for a reason. He's a good one. I mean, if he says we're in, I'll take it.
Okay. All right. Well, Wayne White, everybody know, sources close to the situation, specifically Wayne White says they're in. So this is the second year of the Blair Hardin coach North Myrtle Beach team, the second time that they have gotten into the playoffs, we presume, with the fourth place out of the region and picking up two region wins. Watching this team over the past 2 years, where do you think this is going?
Well, I've definitely seen a growth in the team. I know that one of the big things that Coach Hardin is probably still looking for. He's still looking for that, for those players that are going to step up and be leaders of the program. That's probably one place where we're lacking. I mean, we've got a lot of good players. We got a lot of talent. We got a lot of players that, they bust their rears. They play hard. But don't really have that, one or two mouthpieces that are really going to, pick you up when things aren't going quite so good. But I think we've got that coming. Kerry Class, sophomore, he's a quiet kid. I've gotten to know him a lot better over this year, just hanging around him in practice, watching him in games, talking to him a little bit after games. Kerry Class tonight, 15 carries, 223 yards and 3 touchdowns. I mean, it's just watching that kid through his sophomore year. I mean, and he, with his 223 yards tonight, I mean, he's got 1,091 now for the season. So, watching him, watching Ronnie Bass has come a long way, with Blair as coach. I mean, he is, Blair spends a lot of time with quarterbacks, and, I sometimes go away from practice, thinking, God, if I was Ronnie, I don't know if I'd, Ronnie's got to wake up in the middle of the name just hearing somebody yell, Bass, Bass. I think it's the way that Coach Hardin coaches. Everything's up tempo. It's excited. That's what he's trying to instill in the team is, he wants that up tempo atmosphere. He wants to run the ball. And, again, 342 yards. I mean, we're growing in the right direction with the way Coach Hardin wants it to go.
Now, you mentioned Carrot's performance tonight, north of 200 yards rushing and 3 touchdowns. How is he so successful? Take us to the field. What are some things he does well?
Carrot Class is just, he's one of these kids that, to me, when I watch him, he's a little bit, obviously not talent-wise anywhere near him right now, but like watching Pittsburgh's Le'Veon Bell, when he runs, it's kind of one of those, he doesn't take the ball and go 100 miles an hour from the beginning. He's looking for that hole, and then once he finds it, he hits it hard. And that's kind of how Carrot is. Now, Carrot's nowhere near as big. I mean, he's a smaller in stature. He's a sophomore. He hadn't filled out, hadn't been in the weight room, as much as he's going to be by the time he's a senior. But Carrot's got that. He's got that runner's instinct. I mean, he'll wait for the blockers to set the block, and when he hits the hole again, he hits it hard, and you're going to have to hit him incredibly hard and in the right place if you're going to be one person to bring Carrot down. And again, that's not because of his size. I think it's more because of the kid's heart. I mean, I've seen him bounce off tackles. Tonight we were, I'm trying to think of a score at the time. Let's see, it was 35-14, and we dropped back for a pass, got sacked on our own 11-yard line. Next play, Carrot goes around the right side, breaks a couple of tackles, breaks another tackle, comes all the way back across to the left, and 89 yards later is in the end zone, running away from everybody. So, I mean, it's just there's a lot of heart in that young kid. And you saw, I mean, even after the game tonight, I mean, he didn't care that he had 220 whatever yards. It didn't matter to him. It mattered that we were 7 points down on the scoreboard.
Man, there are a ton of good running backs in Horry County right now. I mean, amazing how many. I mean, diverse. Simmons, Brandon Sinclair, Jamaine Martin, Carrot Class. I mean, there's just a number of really talented ball carriers that we have. And excellent to hear you shine some light on Carrot, both his demeanor and his ability to pick up yards and touchdowns. Wayne, as always, we appreciate it, man. And we'll look to reach out to you again come playoff time, all right?
Well, we'll look to listen to you as I'll be sitting in the stands tomorrow for Coastal Carolina.
All right, appreciate it. Once again, Wayne leading us in. Coverage begins 4 p.m., of course, kickoff is 7. Appreciate it, Wayne.
Yes, sir. Thank you.